station.
It has Fool's Gold written all over it.
And Mike Vrabel's first year leading the Pats. New England will be a part of the tournament. The Patriots clinch a playoff berth.
Cupic Siconia, middle of the mall.
They will clinch the East if the Bills lose or tie the Eagles coming up next. Mike Vrabel takes a 13-loss team and turns them into a 13-win team.
Give me the Indianapolis Colts.
14-3 and the 2-seed in a home playoff game coming up next week.
When you talk about them, the same questions still arise when you're talking about the New England Patriots.
As the Patriots are going to get a playoff win, Drake May, welcome to the winner's circle in the postseason.
A liar on national TV. Cam Newton? No shit. You owe us an apology.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
There's a lot of wrong people in the world, but that man might be the wrongest. Cam Newton. And I kind of forgot the part about give me the Colts. Where are the Colts now? Fitzy, how did the Colts do on the opening round of playoff weekend?
I just checked in with the Colts, and they're in Tulum, and they took Delta.
Not Delta, they took Delta!
She extended it out.
Fitzy and Hart here on
Delta.
Delta. On WEEI Afternoons. Welcome in this Tuesday, this beautiful Tuesday. Nice sunny day out there. The sun always shines on the Patriots bum-bum, especially when they're winning in the postseason, as they did Sunday night, Nick Fitzy, Steven, 16-3. And why did we play Cam Newton there? Why are we talking about the fool's gold and the cubic zirconia? Because I want to lead things off asking, have we put all that idiocy to bed? Did one playoff victory, one simple, ugly at times, but somewhat definitive playoff victory over the Chargers and Justin Herbert and the best team they'd faced and Jim Harbaugh, a good coach, all of that. Did we finally put that to rest? Did we put to rest the fool's gold, the soft schedule, the DVOA, the whatever you wanted to use to poke holes in Drake May's MVP season and 14 wins, Fitzy? Is that gone? Is that water under the bridge?
Yeah, I mean, it's an MVP season to us. We'll find out that Thursday before the Super Bowl if it's an MVP to the rest of the league. But that shouldn't matter to us because the New England Patriots are legit. It's bad news for the rest of the NFL. It's great news for us. And anyone that wants to judge the Patriots based on the words of Cam Newton, I mean, seriously, if you're going to let Cam Newton and his lackluster inability to be able to take the side of the New England Patriots not being what you think they are, fool's gold, middle of the mall. Come on now. The Patriots went up against the fifth best defense in the NFL Sunday and gave up 3 points. And Drake May had the best passer rating under pressure of any quarterback in the NFL on wild card weekend. There were 12 of them. That included the guy that likely will win MVP, Matt Stafford. And he was better and only got better as the game went along. So, fool's gold, kick rocks, lackluster season or lackluster playoffs. You guys can get lost and take that to Tulum as well. And yes, this season is now officially a success. But I'm none of us should be done with the biscuits and the gravy at this point, Andy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news.
Okay, gentlemen, breaking news to the coaching carousel news desk.
Ooh, I think I know what it is, but tell me.
Per ESPN's Adam Schefter, breaking, after a historic 19-season run in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin just informed his team that he is stepping down as the Steelers head coach. Sources tell Jeremy Fowler and me the Steelers will now be looking for only their fourth head coach since 1969.
Wow.
Wow.
19 years for Tomlin, Harbaugh for 18 years. And that famous meme that was making the rounds after their final regular season game that said if the kick went one way, one guy was fired. If it went the other guy was out. Nope, come to find out, a couple weeks later, they're both out of work. Mike Tomlin stepping down, as some had predicted. I know Florio and others were big on this. If he leaves, he would step down. Mm-hmm. Some were talking about TV jobs that he already has lined up for lots of money.
It's like an eight-figure annual TV deal. And Andy, if I had to bet right now, if I could open up an app, he's going the TV route. That's enough. Like,
It's enough. And then he'll have this insatiable thirst to get back on the sideline and the competitive nature. But, yeah, most of the rare guy that did that and stayed that I can really think of is Bill Cowher. He walked away from Pittsburgh. And there were lots of overtures from the Panthers, his home state, like different along the way. And he kept stiff-arming them away and staying on TV. For the most part, you get sort of the Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And right. Sean Payton says, you know, I'm going to do TV for a year or two. And then the Broncos came calling. I kind of want to coach again and get back into it. But that's massive news because that was a big game last night. 7-6 in the fourth quarter turned into a 30-6 defeat for Mike Tomlin, Aaron Rodgers, and the Steelers. That means, well, Tomlin decided that he'd had enough and wanted out in Pittsburgh. That means we may have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers. But most importantly for us here and now in New England, it means the Patriots will be hosting the Houston Texans, that nightmarish matchup that nobody wanted to see, that pass rush, that defense, scored a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter to turn that tight affair into a blowout last night, made life difficult on Aaron Rodgers, and now Mike Tomlin out in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so that means nine new coaches at least in the NFL for the 2026 season. The Steelers' last seven playoff games were 36-17 loss at New England, 45-42 loss at home versus Jacksonville, 48-37 loss at home versus Cleveland, 42-21 at Kansas City, 31-17 at Buffalo, 28-14 at Baltimore, and last night a 30-6 loss at home to the Texans, which sets up our divisional round match on Sunday. You know, it was funny because that was 7-6 late in the third, and I thought before that big, long Christian Kirk pass, it was like, if they could just hold the Texans here to like a field goal or something, if they can get a touchdown, they might be able to win this game. I still think Tomlin would have ultimately walked away, but yeah, they couldn't get it done anymore. It's time. They need a change. So good for him to step down. He didn't deserve to be fired.
The Chargers also parted ways with offensive coordinator Greg Roman and I believe offensive line coach Mike Devlin as well, which adds to a list, Dan Ball, that I keep been meaning to talk to you about that I wanted to put together. There is a long,
yeah, let's do it right now.
Well, no, let's put a pin in this. Long, extensive list, and I don't know what you make of this, whether they played bad teams or they put coaches out of their misery, but the Patriots played a ton of teams this year that canned their head coach walked away or fired their coordinator shortly thereafter. And again, I'm not editorializing. I'm just saying those of you that believe they didn't play anyone, well, a lot of the teams that they played are looking for new coaches right now.
Yeah, we could call it, you know, in the wake of destruction, the rubble list, yep. If you want, all the meme of death that's going like from door to door, and they have the pictures on the faces. Yeah, however you want to characterize it. Yeah, the Patriots are leaving quite the wake this year, which, I mean, that's a mark of a good team. That's a mark of a great team that you are part of the reason teams are rethinking what they're doing with their coaching staff.
It's one way to spin it, or you spin it the other way, or you could have during the year. But as we started out here, you got a playoff win under your belt. It's harder and harder to poke holes in their accomplishments. During the year, you might have looked at it. We can't even beat the Patriots. They won four games last year. They won four games the year before. We're just losing to the Patriots. Yeah, I've seen enough. You got to go.
Is that not a reason? That's a reason you're making teams rethink what they're doing. Maybe it's not the most positive reason when you say it like that, but that's a reason nonetheless.
So nine jobs now available, as Fitzy said, more than a quarter of the NFL looking for a head coach. And some of the mainstays. I mean, you talk about in the last 2 years, we now have
on Tomlin, like people grew up with him. Dan Ball was still playing with
Pete Carroll. How about Pete Carroll? How about Bill Belichick? You're talking about in the last 2 years, decades upon decades of NFL success, Super Bowl rings, just gone from the sport of football. It really is a young man's game now. It just really, like, even Mike Vrabel is kind of like on the older side. Like, we're in a world where we're going back to the McVays and the O'Connells and all these just young guns out there. Jesse Minter's going to be a popular one.
The generation of athleisure wearing, schematic wunderkind, if you will. Like, that's who's here now, Andy.
Yeah, but thankfully, we don't have to think about that anymore, Fitzy. A year ago, 2 years ago, we were in that world, right? We were in the world of like, hey, who do you think should coach the team? Because the last guy kind of stank and blah, 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 blah. Now it's like Vrabel's going to be here for the next 15 years. So the rest of y'all worry about that. We'll worry about how many Super Bowls we're going to win. Right, Dan Ball?
Quick SID stat for you on the fly, guys. There are more head coaching vacancies in the NFL than head coaches who have been employed since 2019.
Interesting.
And before, I should say. It's 9 versus 6 now.
It's only totally turnover central. Damn.
Yeah, it's a It's a rent, don't buy kind of world. It's a ripe bananas, not green ones, if you're a coach, because you're going to be moving
Raheem
on.
Raheem Morris, 2 years in, gets a hug from Arthur Blank. Looks like things are going the right way. If only Michael Penix hadn't partially torn his ACL for a third time, or we had won one more game, we're in the playoffs. Yeah, you're out of here instead.
Now, I will argue, Tomlin doesn't really, you know, fall under the woe is him, like he, boy, if he only got a shot in Pittsburgh kind of thing. I mean, the guy hasn't had a losing season in forever, also hasn't won a playoff game, or Fitzy, as you enumerated, even really been all that competitive in the postseason in forever. And that's a team that, you know, Stiz likes to say it around here, oh, it's about around here, it's about the trophies. Well, I mean, the Steelers are supposed to be about the trophies too, right? It's great you have stability, but you're supposed to be a team that prioritizes another Lombardi trophy, right? And they haven't felt like a team that prioritized winning a Lombardi trophy in a long time. So it's going to be interesting. All of these vacancies.
Half measure. You're right. Like it's like this. It's like the Steelers were, they weren't like the Red Sox, Andy, but they just wanted to like always stay in the playoffs, make sure Tomlin never had a losing season, but they never like went since the second Super Bowl, they have not like gone for it.
And that would be the message that it seems to be sending to the, like, good enough isn't good enough anymore, right? If the Bears and the Patriots and all these teams can turn it around in 1 year and go worst to first and be hosting home playoff games, then why are we sticking with John Harbaugh because he has a Super Bowl ring? Why are we sticking with Mike Tomlin because he has a Super Bowl ring, right? Like, the turnover is evident, no more evident than in the AFC North, right? That's a division that was about stability. And now the head coach with the longest tenure is Zach Taylor, and most people don't think he should still be the head coach of the Bengals, that you're wasting Joe Burrow's career. So, you know, that division's really interesting. I love it. Somebody on the text line immediately put it. I love the idea of Harbaugh going to Pittsburgh. I love that idea. Like if
crossing enemy lines. Yeah.
There's
a greater chance of you being defensive coordinator for the Ravens than there is for Jim.
I know, but you know. Yeah. Today is the day we can play that on the radio. Once he starts doing all his interviews, and I think he's done Giants and Falcons so far, then we can be like, yeah, I guess he's not going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and LaFleur's going to stay in Green Bay. So for anyone that thought like, well, the Harbaughs have a vacation home near Green Bay in the Upper Peninsula, so maybe he's going to want, nope, that's not going to happen. It's Miami or the Giants for Harbaugh, I would think. Like, prestige program or tons of money and sun.
It is kind of interesting, though. So we just enumerated two coaches, Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur, who I think a lot of people would say should not be employed as a head coach with the team they're currently with. And then I think a lot of people would still probably argue that Tomlin and Harbaugh should still be employed with the teams that they were coaching. Like, there's this weird, and I don't know, and Bill Belichick was on the Let's Go podcast last night, and I didn't hear it. I was reading some of the transcript, but he was talking about how, like, none of us on the outside ever really know what's going on with ownership and the organization and the coaches and, you know, every run comes to an end kind of thing, and he learned that as well as anyone in New England. But it is interesting, the perception of John Harbaugh is the hottest coach available. Well, his team just fired him. Like, his team didn't want him, and his team has an MVP quarterback. His team has veteran talent, right? Like, it's not like they were looking for a rebuild, right, in Baltimore.
Mm-mm.
So, like, that weird, like, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, or whatever that is, and it's time to move on, and I still want to be friends, but you know what? You're not the right person for me anymore. And then Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur, and other guys keep their jobs in other places. So I will say, from a Patriots perspective, 9 jobs, Fitzy. Does this mean, and Stiz, you can chime in, does this mean a third of the NFL almost needs a job? Are we going to hear the two words?
Great minds think alike. No. There you go.
Belichick, those. Baby. Oh. Bill Belichick. In the darkness of the night, he pulled up to the Pittsburgh airport and was the head coach of the Steelers.
I still say, Andy, you're out of your mind if you think not one out of these 9 teams is at least going to consider the greatest coach of all time.
What do you mean by consider, though? Like, sit down in a meeting with, like, the owner, the president, and the GM, and they go, this is crazy, but I'm just going to throw it out there, Bill Belichick, and the owner goes, no, want no part of that? Is that considering it?
No, I think it would be a little bit stronger than that, but yeah, a consideration.
Okay, he'll be mentioned.
A phone call, a Zoom, a text that goes to the wrong person, Andy?
Yeah, they should text Brian Flores and be like, hey, you think Bill Belichick would be a good head coach still? He's getting a little old.
What do you think about Brian Daboll?
He's an old white guy, but should we hire him? Yes, Daboll.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's an owner that sees the shiny objects that he has on both hands when he goes to the NFL awards and goes, you need to give that guy an interview. This guy made Robert Kraft an unbelievable amount of money. I want to bring him in and see if I can do the same thing.
And then his president goes, yeah, and if he wasn't 74 and senile, allegedly, and dealing with all kinds of issues, Yeah, we'd want him, but he's not. He's past his prime. It's a young man's game, right? Like, that's – I can't see a single owner. You know who I could see if it happened, and it's not – I don't believe it's happening. Correct me if I'm – new owner, a brand new owner. Like, if they announced today that some, you know, techie NVIDIA person bought some team, they – I could see hiring Bill Belichick, like, right out the gate. Right, like they close on the team on a Tuesday and they call Bill on a Wednesday because they remember watching football for decades on TV. Other than that, I don't think anybody that's in the league and goes to league meetings and talks to other owners, I just can't see it. I know Josina Anderson says otherwise, Fitzy. I don't think Bill is getting an opportunity. I really don't.
Yeah, we're going to hear the name a million times just because. But I also just think it would be so cruddy. You know, and when did like decorum and demeanor ever factor into capitalistic opportunistic equations? But I just think it would be so cruddy to sell yourself to North Carolina, make them pay all that money for you and the family and Lombardi, and then just be like, oh, better opportunity popped up. Yeah, thanks for the Jumpman apparel. See ya.
All right, 617-779-7937. We got sidetracked a little bit there by the breaking news. Mike Tomlin has called it a career for himself in Pittsburgh. Lots of reports and rumors he's going to the TV booth or the TV set moving forward, at least for a short time. So Harbaugh's out, Tomlin's out, and there are 9 vacancies in the National Football League. Do you think Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels might get a phone call for those 9 vacancies? And the question we asked to lead the show off, did the Patriots put to bed the fraud talk, the soft schedule? Even the Super Bowl or bust, has that now taken hold, Stiz? Are we now all in on Super Bowl or bust? You win one game, you're one step closer, and all the other teams look beatable. Is it more Super Bowl or bust than ever for your New England Patriots? 617-779-7937. It is Tuesday, 2:30 coming up. That means we're going to talk to Mark Schlereth, interested to get his take on the weekend of playoff action as well as all these coaching vacancies. That's up next here on WEEI. WEEI Afternoons, and no delay, right to the guest line. We'll talk to Mark Schlereth. We are joined by the Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And our insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, how are we doing this week?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're great. You know, we're advancing in the postseason, and I know this sounds like we're entitled, but it's been a little bit of a while since we won a playoff game around here. So, you know, it's nice to advance and have another one to look forward to on Sunday. So I'm going to start there because there's a lot of NFL news. It was a crazy weekend of football. There's a lot of that we need to get to. But I want to look at the specifics, and I think your area of expertise. Patriots won the game 16-3. But Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, their rookie offensive linemen, probably had their worst game of the season. Drake May was under duress, sacked 5 times, couple fumbles. And now they're going to prepare for the Houston Texans and that pass rush, which is as good as any in the National Football League. Do you think in the course of a week that Doug Marrone, Josh McDaniels can coach up Will Campbell and Jared Wilson to be good enough to face this pass rush? Or do they almost need to say, we're going to have to game plan around it? We can't block those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody can block those. There's not a team in the league that can block those guys one-on-one. Like, you look at Will Campbell, as good as that guy is, Danielle Hunter is the most underrated player in the National Football League. I mean, he's unblockable right now. And he's in year 11 and is, I mean, just killing people. So, you know, that comes down to, and you guys have the value or have the ability to have a guy in Josh McDaniels that understands offensive football as well as anybody in the National Football League. And pass protection comes down to not just the guys you have up front. More importantly, it comes to the guy you have calling plays and how you give your offensive lineman an opportunity to not be passive. I always talk to teams about taking the passive out of pass protection. And so that comes to how you call a game, how you run the football, how you set up screens, how you invite guys up the field and then throw a screen behind them, how you trap guys that are big-time penetrators. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. The problem is that when you get into a situation where you've got to throw the ball or you're not doing those things, and you've got to, you know, you've got to throw it on a consistent basis. I always think about You got to throw it when you want to throw it, not when you have to throw it. When you, if you got to throw it when you have to throw it, then you're in trouble, especially against a team like Houston. So that is going to come down to Josh McDaniels, and you're not going to completely shut out the Houston Texans because they're that freaking good. And so you just have to manage the potential, you know, disasters. And listen, I will tell you this about the Chargers. The Chargers are a dynamic front, and they do a great job of attacking protections. And that's like, that to me is who they are. So they're not an easy throwaway task when it comes to blocking those guys. So, you know, you certainly have your work cut out for you, no question about it. But, you know, I have a lot of faith in Josh and his ability to call plays. And then I have a lot of faith that Drake is going to make a play when he has to make a play, like he did at the end of the first half there for that big scramble.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stink. I think the name Josh McDaniels might be the most important one for the New England Patriots and in Pats Nation leading up to Sunday at 3 o'clock. But as far as how the game's going to go, what did you think of the aggressive style of play from New England's defense? And were you pleasantly surprised at how aggressive, nasty, and physically they played at Sunday?
Yeah, I got a chance to do a couple of Patriots games, and you know, they don't have necessarily like a named pass rusher off the edge, but I just think they are hard. Like, they mimic the style and the aggressiveness of their head coach, and they are solid. They do a great job of defending the run, taking on double teams, and they've got enough of a presence, enough of a if you give them a bunch of one-on-one, somebody's going to win. And so I went back. I was impressed with them in the games that I did, watching their front seven, the way they play, the aggressive style with which they play. So I thought that was great. The Idaho kid, Christian Ellis, was unbelievable, scrambling around, knocking down Justin Herbert, doing some of those things. So I loved what I saw from them, but that's what I saw all season long. You know, I think from a national media perspective, and I said this about the Denver Broncos a year ago, they had come out and said, hey, the Broncos had the 30th best roster, the 31st. This is all the national publications. And I'm like, just because you don't know the names of the guys that play for the Broncos doesn't mean they don't have great players. And I go, that whole survey was absolute garbage. And just because the national media doesn't know the names of some of the players that play for the New England Patriots doesn't mean they don't have great players. They do. And I was really impressed. I mean, obviously the Chargers have some issues with their offensive line they've had all season long. But at the end of that game in the fourth quarter, I felt like Rocky, you know, throwing the towel. You know what I mean? I felt bad for Justin Herbert. Like, he's going to die. He's going to get killed, you know, down there, because they were just demolishing him. And so I just thought they were exceptional. And the other thing to me is, you know, the six sacks or whatever, the constant pressure. It tells me also in the back end, guys weren't, and I haven't watched the coaches' film yet, but guys weren't getting open. You know, and guys were not shaking loose. And so that's why you end up having to hold the ball. So I think a really great performance, a dominant performance by the New England Patriots.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. In light of what you just said about sort of those ignorant takes from afar, I have a developing what may be ignorant take, and I want you to tell me if I'm crazy. So I watched all the football this weekend, and there was some weird games, comebacks. The team that was leading at the 2-minute mark wasn't winning any of the games. You know, a lot of teams played a half of good football, but then another half that wasn't great. Is this one of the worst fields we've seen in recent playoff memory? Is this not maybe a marquee postseason? Doesn't mean it can't be competitive and entertaining, but is the quality of play not as good?
I just think that the NFL has pushed itself into this parity is everything and everybody's going to have a chance. And I think they've achieved it. And I think there's a lot, like there's not one team that is a completely dominant team that doesn't have a fatal flaw. You know, in Seattle, everybody's saying now, hey, Seattle's the best team in football. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, do you trust Sam Darnold? Do you trust this offense on a consistent basis? And the answer would be no, not really. But their defense is dominant, you know, and you go through the Rams. I thought the Rams for a while there were the best team in football. But and then you see them get a 14-0 lead and basically choke it back to the Carolina Panthers, who are not, called six Panther games. They're not a very good team. And so, you know, like, everybody is fatally flawed. I think Buffalo, you look at Josh Allen, as good as he is, I think this is the worst team he's been around that he's had since he's been in the playoffs. So there's a lot of fatal flaws. It makes it for entertaining football. There's no question about that. But there is not that one dominant team that if that team got beat, you go, oh, wow, what a huge upset that is. It doesn't exist.
So with all of the coaching changes, it's kind of almost hard to believe, Stink, that there are nine availabilities and nine openings right now following the Mike Tomlin news, which just broke about a half an hour ago. Which one would you want to jump on most, or what do you think would be the most attractive situation in the NFL?
Yeah, I think right now it's the Ravens, because I think they have the best chance or the best roster with a two-time MVP quarterback. And, you know, I said this earlier, I think John Harbaugh is going to have the pick of the litter from the coaching, you know, from a coaching tree standpoint. Obviously, he's not going back to Baltimore. But now Pittsburgh being open, there's a lot of attractive jobs out there from a job security standpoint. I mean, you know, it's been the Pittsburgh Steelers, hey, you know, three coaches in 200 years, you know, whatever it is. But you know, I mean, you know, you're going to get a chance to implement kind of your culture and your program and all those things in Pittsburgh. So that'll be a really interesting job opening to me. And then there's a bunch of teams out there. I think Atlanta's a really talented team. I think that's got to be on the top of a lot of people's lists. And then there are the historic teams that you look at, like Arizona, and you're in that division with Seattle, with San Francisco, with the Rams, who all have, you know, coaches that look like the real deals and are well-run organizations, you know, structurally with their GMs and their head coaches being on the same page. And then you've got, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, I mean, what are the odds of you coming in and competing in that division and turning that thing around? But, you know, we've seen it. We've seen it with Liam Cohen, what he did in Jacksonville. We've seen it right there in New England with what the right coach can do, you know, coupled with making the right moves in free agency in the draft, and how quickly things can turn around. And they certainly have done that in New England. It's been a cool story to watch.
Is that why we're getting more of these openings? I mean, in the last 2 years alone, we basically had Bill Belichick fired, Pete Carroll fired twice, John Harbaugh fired, Mike Tomlin steps down. That's a lot of years of experience and coaching and stability that teams are moving on from. Is it that sort of get rich quick that we're seeing? You know, the Chicago's, the Jacksonville's, the New England's, these owners are getting greedy. They want quick turnarounds and instant success.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is just be really careful about first time head coaches. Like, Mike Vrabel's not a first time head coach, and he went out there and put a great staff together. And I think that's really important. And, you know, I've talked to a bunch of GMs here recently in the last week, guys that are friends of mine. And one of the big issues with hiring a new coach is being able to put a staff together. And what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to, you know, rip the Band-Aid off quickly. So if you put a staff together and it's not the right staff in that first year, you've got to be able to say, hey, man, we love this head coach. Look at Seattle. We love the head coach, but this college offensive coordinator that we hired is not the right guy. Rip the Band-Aid off, insert Clint Kubiak. We are the number one seed. So you've got to be able to be very nimble. You can't be a big cruise liner. You got to be a motorboat, right? You got to be able to kind of zip in and out and change things on the fly. And I think that's a really important thing. But the GMs that I've talked to, very, very leery about first-time head coaches, because first-time head coaches don't have necessarily the connections to put a really good staff together. And so that becomes a big part of the issue that you get into in the hiring process.
Yeah, not everybody can be McVay. Sometimes you get a Mayo, and you saw how that went last year in New England. But here we are with Vrabel. So, all right, Mayan, last one. What do you see this weekend? You want to give us how you see the four games playing out real quick?
Yeah, I can do that. I think the first game, you know, the Broncos, Buffalo. Listen, I hope the Broncos win this thing. I think they can win this thing. Buffalo defensively are not very good. You've got to be able to run the ball. You look at Jacksonville, and I don't know why they got into this, but Jacksonville had, between their two running backs, had 14 carries and averaged over 8 yards a carry. And you only gave it to your running backs 14 times. And it almost was like, hey, we're going to prove that, you know, Trevor Lawrence can out-duel Josh Allen. Stupid. Just a dumb decision. And so that one perplexed me a little bit. Broncos aren't a great running team, but the Bills defense is not very good. You're going to have to control the tempo and run the ball. If they can do that, I think they win. The X factor is, you know, Josh, you guys know, you watch him twice a year. He can make some ridiculous plays. And if you give an opportunity at the end of a game to do that, odds are it's not going to end up in your favor. But I'll take the Broncos just because I'm a homer and I live here and I'm going to the game. I just think Seattle's a much more physical defense. I think all the injuries with the 49ers will finally catch up to the 49ers. Even though I've known Kyle Shanahan since he was like 12 years old, I'll still take Seattle. I think they're a better football team. I like the Rams beating Chicago. I keep betting against Chicago. I keep betting against Caleb Williams. Something about Caleb Williams, though, being able to be your best when your best is required. He can play where it looks like I think they had 6 first downs in the first half last weekend. 6. And then all of a sudden they end with 24 and he goes crazy in the second half. And making, you know, 4th-and-8 conversion and all those kind of things. I still think the Rams are just an overall better football team. And what's our last game that I'm missing?
You might know Houston and New England Sunday.
Oh, Houston, yeah, Houston, you guys. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I'll take, just because I love you guys so much, I'll take Houston 45-10.
I'm just
busted balls. I think it'll be close. Listen, man, I think this defense is really good. This Houston defense is, as you guys know, I think it's the best in football. But man, I'm concerned about the way CJ Stroud has played. And I'm concerned about that offense. Just because I love you guys, I'm going to take New England in a tight one. I'm going to call it 17-16 New England.
Why does it feel like if I listen to your podcast or if you do a hit in Houston, I might find a different prediction for that game?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I meant 17-16 Houston.
Way to cover your bases. You
know, yeah, right. I've got to do something, man. I tell you what, you guys know, you watched that game last night, man. The Houston Texans defense is for real.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 or 5 days leading up to this game against Will Campbell and Drake May. But we appreciate your time this week, Mark, and hopefully it's another good weekend of football. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, bud.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Fitzy, when we come back, we got to talk about that. I know he wanted to pick the Texans. I also think it's interesting that a guy from Denver who'll be at the Broncos game this weekend said the best defense in football is the Houston Texans, and they are coming to Gillette Stadium on Sunday. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll also touch on the Boston Celtics with a bad loss last night. No JB, major problems. Celtics lose to the Pacers. That's up next here on WEEI.
I think it'll be close. I think this defense is really good. This Houston defense is, as you guys know, I think it's the best in football. But, man, I'm concerned about the way C.J. Stroud has played. And I'm concerned about that offense. Just because I love you guys, I'm going to take New England in a tight one. I'm going to call it 17-16 New England.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth from Denver, former Bronco. Just to put it in perspective, quote, I'll be at the game in Denver on Sunday, he said. So just so we know where he comes from. That was a little bit of a brag. He also bragged about all the GM buddies he talked to this week around the league. There were a few brags in there throughout the course of that interview, but that's why I love it.
Also, by the way, good job by suggesting that if you heard him on a Houston radio station or listened to his podcast, like, why do I feel like I'm going to hear something slightly different? Because he had to be like pushed over the edge, like, okay, fine, I'll say Patriots by a point just because I like you guys.
Yeah, he did not want to pick the Patriots. No. Every fiber of him other than the I'm on the air in Boston right now and I talk to these guys every week, every other fiber in him, his instinct was to pick the Texans there. So we'll see. We're going to have a long week of that. That build up, I thought it was really interesting, his comments. And if you missed the interview, you can go back on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, download it and listen. Follow at WEEI Afternoons podcast if you want for the full interview. The idea, like, he's putting a lot of faith in Josh McDaniels. He has faith in Josh McDaniels to scheme up what they need to do to deal with that pass rush. So we're going to be talking about that all week as we build up towards this real fun football game, which, a reminder, you people all told me this was the nightmare matchup. Nobody wanted to face the Texans. Well, you got what you didn't want, the Texans on Sunday. Last night, the Celtics got what they didn't want, Fitzy. No JB and no victory, even though you played an 8-win Pacers team. 8-31 the Pacers were coming in, Fitzy, and yet the Celtics lose 98-96. And I don't know if you heard, it may have ended with a play that included an illegal screen.
Oh, you don't say. Wait, did Joe Mazzulla talk about it?
Literally talked about it. If by it you mean those two words, illegal screen, that's what he talked about post-game. I don't even know if this is Belichickian. I don't even know if this is immature. I don't know if this is like a fourth grader. I don't know what to make of Joe Mazzulla. I get it. You didn't like the call. But Joe Mazzulla, you're supposed to be a pretty good coach and you're supposed to be a pretty good team, and your team fell on its face against the Pacers last night. So I will say, you know, the old MVP test, and we've done a lot of MVP debate. Well, take the player off the team, what happens? Well, apparently if you take JB off the Celtics, they lose to the worst team in basketball. Yes, Dan Ball?
Yeah, if you pull Jaylen Brown off the Celtics, it sets basketball back a couple of years.
And you leave a coach that is so defeated, he can only utter two words in his post-game press conference. Illegal screen, illegal screen. We need to get into this maybe later in the week. This bitching about the officiating. And this is going to be a man who lives in a glass house. It's got to stop. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. Stop bitching about the officials. Jaylen Brown, you're probably right. You probably are getting screwed, but you're not helping your cause. I've watched a lot of NBA over the years, Fitzy, and I feel like the more you bitch, the less calls you get.
Jason, no one's told Jason Tatum this, by the way.
Nope. And so you know what that makes me believe? That it all goes back to Mazzulla. So Tatum does it, and Jaylen Brown does it, and now Mazzulla does it. It's all on Mazzulla. And Mazzulla's the head coach.
Oh, rot
the
comes
guy
from the top down. Yeah, yes. It's very familial in that capacity. By the way, do we know if, has a FedEx arrived on the desk of Jaylen Brown or at the Auerbach Center?
Oh, yeah, $35K, which was 10 more than the normal fine for how over the top he was.
Oh, because he invited it and literally said, like, I don't care, I'll pay it.
Oh, and he was calling, I forgot, what was it, Curtis? Whatever the lead official was, he was calling him out by name and his buds and everything. Like, and he wasn't wrong, but just leave that too. I know we don't have Tommy Heinsohn anymore, but he would have been all over this. Tommy Heinsohn, the first thing he did when he studied a game was look at free throws, the imbalance in free throws. And there's an imbalance, and the Celtics are getting screwed, and JB's getting screwed. But stop bitching about it. Just play basketball and let it come around. Like your MVP respect, sooner or later the calls will come. 617-779-7937. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 3 o'clock. Ted joins the fun, so we're going to be talking Patriots the rest of the day. The big win over the Chargers and slightly turning the page maybe with some comments about the Texans. But right now we got to do our three-point stances, and I'm going to be the bad guy. Stiz is going to get mad at me because a nice woman said something nice in a press conference setting, and I'm going to crap all over it next here on WEEI Afternoons.